This Week in Agriculture, a Red River Farm Network production. With a look at This Week in the Market, I'm Tyler Donaldson. American Crystal Sugar Company beet stock reached a new brokered high last week at $5,900 per share. Acres and Shares broker Jason Menke says there were 8 brokered sales totaling 264 shares between $5,700 and $5,900 for an average price of $5,773 per share. So far this trading season, 4,422 shares have traded at an average price of $5,316 per share. Important dates to remember: April 1st is the new partnership transfer deadline, April 11th is the share transfer deadline, and April 24th is the American Crystal Sugar Company board meeting. USDA's weekly export inspections report for the week ending March 7th showed corn inspections at 1.12 million metric tons, which is 2% less than the previous week but 9% more than the same week a year ago. Soybean inspections of 706,000 metric tons are 39% less than the previous week but 11% more than the same week last year. Wheat inspections came in at 403,000 metric tons, 12% more than the previous week and 56% more than a year ago. And for the marketing year, corn inspections are 33% ahead of last year, soybean inspections are 19% behind last year, and wheat inspections are 16% less than a year ago. And for the markets this week, trading a bit sideways with some pretty heavy volatility at times. Roche Ag Marketing Market Advisor Jacob Klingberg: with the grains remaining quiet, there was to be some optimism, but overall, South American crop expectations are helping to hold some support.
CONAB did their Brazil crop conditions update, and they lowered, I think, fairly significantly both their corn and soybean output expectations, both on weather concerns, but for corn also on an 8% year-over-year drop in planted area on the second crop corn. So I think for right now, if anything's going to move the market in the next few weeks as far as acreage and crop conditions are concerned, it's probably more likely to be in the South American space than here.
By the end of the week, the grains were chopping sideways, according to AgWatch Market Advisors President Dewey Strickler.
Yeah, we got the corn a little bit higher here. We did have 125,000-ton sale to an unknown destination, and I think that's offering a little bit of support here. I have seen where you have had the sales, and they have not offered support, but corn was down yesterday. Looks like we got a little bit of a rebound going here today, and soybeans acted like they put a top in yesterday, and they're still lower here again this morning. And wheat market is just holding its own here.
Trade is looking for cattle markets to remain strong, with cattle inventory remaining low across the country. Northern Crops Marketing and Investments President Brad Paulson says that continues to hold strength in the markets. Slaughter rates are down compared to a year ago, but inventory is still meeting demand.
Well, we're firmer across the board again. Looks like the cash did trade as low as 83 in the south here, and some little poor grade cattle. The most offers are now 186. We're nudging up to the upper end of the range, up to the gap that we left 2 years back in last fall, last October, when we had that big sell-off. So a lot of the trade's looking for that gap to be filled, which is just a dollar or so higher here. And maybe we get that filled and see if this cash market holds together here. The harvest rate is still down in these cattle from a year ago substantially, but we still remain pretty current as far as the inventory goes.
Outside markets are also seeing strength, and inventory being down while demand remains steady in the energy sector. That's a look at the markets this week in agriculture. I'm Tyler Donaldson on the Red River Farm Network.
At Common Ground North Dakota, you'll find farmers from diverse backgrounds sharing an authentic conversation about the food we grow and the way we farm. We're here to bridge the gap between farmers and consumers, promoting understanding and an appreciation for our agricultural industry. Join us online for our podcast and blog at commongroundnorthdakota.com. That's commongroundnorthdakota.com. Common Ground is sponsored by the North Dakota Corn Council.
The stories that matter to you and your bottom line matter to us.
We've had a little ridge of high pressure, say a little upward bump in the jet stream.
So if you're an investor, a lot of that money is can be either better utilized somewhere else or is costing you a lot more money to keep in commodities.
Many of those same clients in those states are really suffering with some issues on the rainfall shortages.
No one covers agriculture better than the Red River Farm Network. We're reporting agriculture's business.
With a look at farm news this week in agriculture, I'm Randy Conan. Following a full convention program and policy debate, the National Farmers Union delegates approved six priorities for the coming year. They include fairness for farmers, family farming in the 2024 Farm Bill, family farming and the Farm Safety Net, family farming and conservation, family farming and dairy policy reform, and support for the cooperative business model and the International Year of Cooperatives. The delegates at the 122nd Annual National Farmers Union Convention re-elected President Rob LaRue and Vice President Jeff Kipley by unanimous ballot. Both will serve another two-year term. LaRue, who is from Greenville, West Virginia, serves as Farmers Union President since 2020. Kipley from Aberdeen, South Dakota, began his second term as Farmers Union President. North Dakota Farmers Union President Mark Watney sat down with Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack to discuss the Farm Bill at this year's Farmers Union Convention.
Our primary goal was to see if he could give us the latest in what's current with Farm Bill and the potential movement. There were some positive, some negative. I mean, the negative is they're not quite ready to get together and do that hard negotiation piece to find the solution. They're still squabbling over, you know, where can they get a little bit more money? Should they take it from here, take it from there? There's some likelihood we may see at least a debate right after they get this budgetary stuff done, because they're going to have a so-called time. If they get down in that room, they might be able to hammer out a solution. I mean, I think the Ag Secretary is ready to be in the room if they'll let him.
And Watney says that Farm Bill still needs a lot of work. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack said the Farm Bill delay comes down to money and partisanship.
You got to have the votes to get a Farm Bill passed. Now, there's some who believe that it would be better if you just separated the nutrition title from everything else. The problem with that is the nature of the Congress, with as many people who represent urban districts, they'll see it as something that's not necessarily totally beneficial to their particular constituency. So right now what you have is a circumstance where there is not support within the structure of the Farm Bill. There are proposals to take money from the IRA and the conservation money that's available to farmers, all farmers, and shift that into the Farm Bill and then use it for a number of different purposes. The problem with that, of course, is if you're shifting it to help a subset of farmers, you're denying resources that are available to all farmers.
The Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council spent the week in Uzbekistan promoting Minnesota soybeans. Council Director Ben Storm says there is a lot of room for U.S. soybean trade expansion with Uzbekistan.
Everybody is very excited about getting some Minnesota soybeans or some United States soybeans into this country. From the sounds of it, they are currently getting some out of South America, but the price out of the U.S. versus the South American soybean meal is very similar, and they're just trying to figure out the logistics of getting the U.S. soybean meal in here to feed their poultry. They're currently using about 300,000 metric tons of soybean meal in the country. They should be pushing 1.2 million metric tons, so there's a lot of potential for growth in their soybean meal business as well.
Minnesota's Agriculture Utilization Research Institute, AURI, announcing the election of two new board members and the re-election of one board member. Trinity Creek Ranch co-owner Michaela Tabor from Red Lake County and Nobles County farmer Ted Winter have been elected to the AURI board. Cottonwood, Minnesota farmer Carolyn Olson has been re-elected to the board. U.S. Senate approved the six appropriations bills previously approved by the House of Representatives. Agriculture Appropriations Bill fully funds the Farm Service Agency, guaranteed and direct loans. It provides $2 million for new policy research center at NDSU. Also provides more than $50 million in ag research funding for North Dakota through the Agriculture Research Service and the National Institute of Food and Agriculture Research conducted by NDSU and across North Dakota. That's a look at farm news this week in agriculture. I'm Randy Conan.
The Minnesota Corn Growers Association has worked tirelessly in the interests of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, they're at the table when you can't be. But like you, they can't do it alone. Their strength is in their members. The strength is in you. Join Minnesota Corn as it continues to advocate for the American corn farmer. Visit mncorn.org and become a member today. That's mncorn.org.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate will go directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to texasfarmbureau.org to donate.
This is a look at weather this week in agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The weekly U.S. Drought Monitor continues to show mixed conditions. Parts of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and southern Missouri, along with southeastern Kansas, saw improved conditions due to heavy rains. Moderate drought expanded in northwest Missouri, west central and far northwest Wisconsin, Minnesota, northwest Iowa, and parts of Michigan. Parts of southeast South Dakota and Nebraska saw a small expansion of abnormal dryness. North Dakota was unchanged from last week. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers says reservoirs along the Red River of the North are ready for any potential spring flooding. St. Paul District Water Management Section Chief Liz Nelson says the reservoirs are ready for any spring snowmelt or rain event. Corps officials say they are prepared to make any necessary adjustments based on the lack of snowpack in the basin. Stephen, Minnesota farmer John Field plans to wait until April to head to the field. Moisture conditions seem to be in good shape for spring planting.
Being up north there, we didn't have the drought that they had further south. We didn't fight the drought. It didn't affect us near like it was. We were a little on the drier side, but our soil moistures are a little bit more in line with where we need to be. If we have a dry season, I think we would tend to the drier side. But in general, we were able to escape that last year, and we feel like we're prepared pretty good. The soil was prepared good last year. Last fall, it went in and prepared well for next year.
Several states throughout the country have experienced the warmest winter on record, according to USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey.
The breakdown by state, it was the warmest winter on record for 8 individual states, and that included Iowa plus 7 Canadian border states extending from North Dakota to Vermont. We also saw impressively top 10 winter rankings in almost all other U.S. states. The only exceptions were New Mexico, Arizona, and Washington in the west, and then a handful of southeastern states extending from Arkansas and Louisiana eastward to the Atlantic coast, to the Carolinas, Georgia, and Florida. So other than that little block of states in the southeast and New Mexico, Arizona, Washington, it was one of the 10 warmest winters on record.
Brugler Ag Marketing Market Commodity Analyst Austin Schroeder says recent CONAB numbers are different than USDA estimates.
We did see CONAB come out yesterday morning, and they did drop their number lower to 112 on their corn production number, citing, I think, some lower second corn crop acreage and some lower yields as well. USDA is still quite a ways off of them. They're at 124, and I did look up a little bit on some of that data, and it does suggest that CONAB may undercut the numbers here in the March report, so that is something to keep in mind.
According to Reuters, heavy rains are impacting key agricultural areas, causing flash floods and making harvest difficult in Argentina. For now, rains are good for soybean productivity, but will be a bigger issue in April as harvest ramps up. These rains could also benefit the 2024 wheat crop in the region. North Dakota's Department of Environmental Quality has released a priority climate action plan, which is backed by a $3 million federal grant and aims to expand energy efficiency and land management projects that reduce emissions by 3% over 25 years. The plan involves various initiatives and a number of agricultural practices that are projected to reduce emissions by 530,000 metric tons of CO2 by 2030. The DEQ has released an emissions inventory revealing major contributors like industrial and oil and gas sectors aligning with Governor Doug Burgum's goal for carbon neutrality by 2030. That's a look at weather this week in agriculture. I'm Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network.
Are you concerned with the amount of interest you're paying on your operating loan? Do you have grain in the elevator? We believe that recent improvements in basis provide an opportunity to generate cash flow. Let Van Onen Company help you create a plan for not only those bushels, but also for the crop years ahead. Van Onen Company can help you navigate the unknowns of grain and livestock marketing. Call us today at 1-800-648-5494. 1-800-648-5494. 5494.
Don't miss the dry bean scene every Friday at 12:35 on the Red River Farm Network. Specialty crop markets are special and require more digging than corn, soybeans, and wheat. We do that digging by talking with numerous crop scouts, growers, and processors in the North Harvest region or wherever beans that affect local markets are grown. So follow the dry bean scene every Friday at 12:35 on this Red River Farm Network station. The dry bean scene, brought to you by the North Harvest Bean Growers Association.